Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
That's totally not fair. How many of you out there have heard that a lot? And if you haven't heard it, it's because you're using it. Hey, my name's Justin Kim, and you're on Inverse. And we're talking about that's not fair, where is a phrase that's not exactly found in the parables, but it is a theme that we find in, where are we talking about? In Matthew 20. In the studio, we have Israel. Hello, Israel.
Hey.
And we have Siku. Hey,
hi.
Siku.
Hi.
And we got Joe.
Please.
Hey, Joe.
Joseph.
Joseph. And we have all of you guys out there. And we so have appreciated your support, your comments on social media, on Smoke Signal, on emails, and all these things coming in. And we just want to say thank you for your support. If you guys have comments you guys want to leave to each of our teammates and you want to encourage us, we appreciate that as well. You want to like and subscribe and share all of our videos and all of our Bible studies everywhere that you can. We are looking at, as I mentioned, Matthew chapter 20. We are looking at Called to Serve. We're in episode 10 on a 13-week arc on the parables of Jesus entitled Stories That Transform. You can go to inversebible.org and download the Bible study guides there. And you can also go to the Apple and Android platforms and get it on your phone while searching Sabbath School and download the app that has the little blue logo on it. And it's got a wonderful, wonderful Bible studies there from the past 8 years, past 9 years, past a long time ago. We started this project and God has been very good to us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20. I'm in Matthew 25. Sorry about that. And then we'll actually read, but before we're going to have a prayer. And Siku, can you pray for us?
Sure. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you for life this day. We thank you for the gift of your word. And we pray that as we study it during these few moments, that the Holy Spirit would be our guide and our teacher. Amen. And lead us into all truth. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Joe, can I ask you just give us not a preview, maybe it's a post-view, overview. Overview is what I'm trying to look for. An overview of all the, not each single parable, but what are kind of the high points that you remember from this season? And which are the ones that kind of either you've been just profoundly rebuked by, or you're like, man, that was a really fun episode that we did?
Great question. I it seems like Jesus' parables in my mind fall into maybe two categories.
Okay.
There's the agriculture ones, okay, with the seeds, uh-huh, and the growing and illustrations from that. And then there's these human interest stories with these characters, and these, most of them have tension in them, and there's misunderstanding between the characters.
Okay.
And those ones speak powerfully to me just about the character of God. It seems that Jesus, through these parables, is really trying to move us in understanding the love of the Father.
Mm.
You know, we think of the parable of the prodigal son. We think of the father he compares, if an earthly father, if you ask for a fish, you give him a stone, or if you ask for bread, you give him something else. Jesus says, your heavenly Father loves you that much more. Mm-hmm. And so by comparing and contrasting, it seems like some dimension of God's love is coming through in every single one of these parables.
Mm-hmm.
And so it challenges me to ask me if I trust his love or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I love the parables.
Amen. 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 I've really enjoyed the relationships, and as you wonderfully pointed out, the tension in relationships, and how two individuals, how they resolve this tension, and then at the end, it's a reflection of our relationship with God. Like, he uses basic premise of human relationships to explain our spirituality, which a lot of spirituality is actually, you know, transcendent, it's exoteric, it's weird kind of, you know, means and practices, and not based on a human relationship. But it's a very simple concept, but very profound at the same time. I started off with the opener with that's not fair, that's not fair. And that's kind of the premise here in this parable. We're going to read from Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. And Israel, if you can read for us, we'll start from verses 1 through 7. Chapter 20.
All right, let's read. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out on the third hour, about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, You also go into my vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went.
Okay, what's up there? And Siku, kind of what's going on here? We have another parable, Kingdom of God, Kingdom of Heaven, started again, yes. And what are some highlights that you see in that in the first section there?
That you have somebody who owns his land and he's looking for people who are going to work the vineyard. So he's got fruit that needs to be harvested.
Okay.
It doesn't say that he has fruit that needs to be harvested.
Oh, okay.
It could be that they're just tilling the ground.
Okay.
They're just working.
They need to work.
Yeah, they need to work, right?
All right.
And he goes and he makes an agreement with laborers who are looking for work, and he makes an agreement with them for how much he's going to pay them with the first laborers that he meets.
Okay. The wages are, what, in verse 2,
a denarius.
What is a denarius? What do we have any insights on that?
Day's wage.
Day's wage, all right. So what's average U.S.? I don't know what daily wage. $40? I don't know. I'm going back.
Minimum wage in the U.S.?
We do not know, Justin.
I'm thinking about when I first started at a job 30 years ago, 40 years ago. All right, so the day's wage is negotiated. And then anything else? Verse 3, I see about the third hour. So what, this is 3 o'clock in the morning. What is the third hour, Joe?
What is it? Is that 9 o'clock?
My understanding is about 9 o'clock, yeah?
Yeah.
The first hour is when sun rises up at 6 o'clock, so 9 o'clock seems to be about the third hour, yeah? So fairly early in the day, I think, is the point, yeah? Any other observations that we see?
Well, the
there?
Second group.
Well, the second group is the third hour.
Is it the second group is the third hour?
Yeah. First group is early in the morning.
One. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
In the second group, he doesn't make an agreement. He says, "I will give you whatever is right."
Okay. Yes.
So there's a difference there.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for that clarification. Israel, you were going to say?
I was going to say the same thing Joe said. There's no agreement. There's no conversation. There's no negotiation. With the first group, he's negotiating with them. There's a back and forth conversation. Mm-hmm. What seems right to you? And as they're negotiating, they agree on something. Mm-hmm. With this other group, he doesn't even ask them, you know, what's going on. He just sees them standing. They're idle, by the way, too. Mm-hmm. He just sees them standing there idly, and he says, go work in my vineyard also. I'll pay you whatever is right. Mm-hmm. I think he says whatever is right.
Yeah, whatever is right. And that's a level of trust. They embrace it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So no negotiation there in terms of numbers.
Yeah.
And anything else that we can mine from that section? I'm just trying to go slowly and see if we're in a collective Bible study here together. All right. Is there anything in the marketplace? They're saying idle in the market. Am I reading too much?
I don't know. But another word that stuck out to me was laborers.
Laborers.
So this is an identified group of people.
Okay.
They're professional workers. In other words, he's not hiring friends. He's not hiring people who are not, you know, he's not hiring fishermen, right, to work in his vineyard. He's hiring people that labor. They're laborers, and so they're workers, and so they, you know, a person who is a laborer is a person who labors.
Mm-hmm. And in that culture, if they're looking for work, that's where they go, right, to the marketplace to see if anyone will hire that day.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The All Home right. Depot. That's the Home
Depot. All right. I wasn't going to say that, but okay.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, in American culture, there is a place called Home Depot where if you need work, you just show up there and all sorts of people show up early in the morning and negotiate whatever wage you want.
You get paid cash.
Moving on to verse 5, we're going to get calls from the authorities. Siku, verse 5.
To read it, again he went out about the 6th and 9th hour and did likewise.
All right. So what does that transfer as? What time is that? That's
so six,
third hour is 9 o'clock.
9, 12, and then
noon,
three.
And then 3. Okay. Mm-hmm. Every 3 hour. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Keep going.
Verse 6. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive.
All right, so verse 6 and verse 7, anything else? Verse 11th hour is what? It's about 5 o'clock in the evening?
Mm-hmm. 1 hour before sundown.
Okay, so 1 hour left of work. All right, anything else there that you guys Observation. Bible study requires observation. We want to jump into application right away, but the majority of time on Bible study is spent in observation. So we're just doing this. It shows you that we're not scripted and we're not prepared. We didn't prepare all the word for word conversation.
One thing that caught my attention.
Yep.
Verse 7, where they say the reason why they're still standing there because no one hired us, it's not because they had no desire to work, but they failed to find somebody who was looking for them to work. Mm-hmm. And so these, I guess, idlers, you'd say, is not out of laziness on their part, not because they're not willing, but they just failed to be hired.
Okay.
Until
so group
that time.
Three, group four doesn't say much. Group five has something to say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and I wonder what that word, you know, maybe Siku, our Greek scholar, can look at that up at some point and figure out what that word idle means.
What word is that you're referencing?
Idol, yeah. Yep. Something that struck me for the first time reading this is...
a Greek scholar with a Greek app application. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
All right. Is actually the consistency of the actions of the person who's hiring these people.
Oh, okay.
You know, so he comes every 3 hours. Yeah, and it's like it's a predictable time slot. Mm. He's coming every 3 hours, and he's doing the same thing.
It is looking,
you know? Mm-hmm. And so it shows, it gives us an insight into the character of the person who's hiring people. He is consistent in what he's doing. There's like, you know, you can kind of depend on him to act in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that kind of
just from a managerial perspective, I'm seeing that, I mean, he's getting workers in the beginning of the day, and he realizes, oh man, this work is not going to get finished with this number. So, I mean, he's assessing every 3 hours, and he's like, man, I need more workers. And just kind of, this is a real time analysis of the work. I mean, just think managers, that's what they do, right? If they want to get the work done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. What else? Anything else you see there? All right, let's move on to next section there, verse 8. Joe, you
want to read? Sorry, give us time. You've got to give us time to respond.
Okay, yeah. All right.
So also in verse...
Give you the time. The time is now yours.
Thank you. All right. So, the last part of verse 6, it says, why have you been standing, you know, here idle all day?
Yeah.
So the workers in verse 6, they have essentially wasted the whole day. You know, they've been idle the entire day. Mm. So that's something to know.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Say amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Verse 8. Joe, want to read
for
us?
Yes. Verse 8.
Good observation.
So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen.
Okay, great. Thanks, Joe. There's a lot of juice to juice out there. anyone?
The lime is full.
What's that?
The lime.
Lemon. The lime is full.
Full of juice, yes.
All right.
Proverb
from Mexico.
It's from proverb. Israel.
Israel. Yeah. I don't think they have limes in Israel.
No,
they have lemons.
For me.
From Israel the person.
I have limes and lemons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you like to share some of the juice that you have?
Mm. Yeah, I can. Yeah. So, where do we start? In verse 8. Mm-hmm. So, I think what strikes me the most is the phrase that why they're upset, which I don't know where verse 12, it says, you know, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and what gets them upset is, and you have made them equal to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And what upsets these people is the fact that they believe that the people that they've labored with have been given equal status to themselves, and it just really, it speaks to me, because how many times have I been in that kind of situation? You know, it's like, God is so good to us all the time, right? I mean, I reflect on, you know, my whole life, and I can see over and over and over and over again how God has pulled me out of some crazy things, you know, financial issues, educational issues, I mean, too many issues to talk about. And I reflect on that, and when I'm in my room reflecting on God's goodness to me, I'm in awe and I love him, and I'm just like, man, you've been so good to me. But then as soon as I leave my room and I see God being good to somebody else, you know, God is good to Justin, and I'm thinking to myself, man, why are you so good to him, you know? And it's like, you've made him equal to me. And it's like, what happens is, we think we have a certain relationship with God, and we want to have a closer relationship with God than other people do. And it's like, I don't care if other people are cool with God, I just don't want them to be as close to God as I am. I don't want God to look at other people equally to the way he looks at me when they have only worked with him for one hour and I've worked with him for the whole day, right? And so this speaks to the heart of every human being, you know, and our obsession with, even in religious things, wanting to be superior or different than other people.
Okay, Israel, we're not equal.
You're better. You're like, don't worry. I never thought in my life that we were equal.
No, that same point strikes me though, but from kind of different verses. That they were fine in verse 2.
They were negotiating initially.
Yep. And they agreed to that this is a reasonable wage.
This makes sense, right? Yep.
The problem comes, similar to what Israel was saying, the problem comes when they start comparing themselves with others, right? And they're like, wait, like, okay, this was a reasonable wage. They agreed to it. Like, it makes sense in their minds. But now when they start comparing themselves with others, it's like, no, but could we have got more? Like, maybe we should have negotiated higher.
Yeah.
How can they, if he was willing to pay 1 denarius for just 1 hour, we could have got 12 denarius.
You know? So they're calculating how much more they could have gotten.
Yes. And they had already agreed that this was a reasonable wage. Mm. And it doesn't stop being a reasonable wage just because the master is benevolent and he's generous and giving to others. Yeah. That is still a reasonable wage.
Yeah, I just think of the you guys know the monkey video where there's two monkeys in the cell, and then the scientist gives one monkey like a raisin, and then he's totally happy. But then he goes to the next monkey and gives like two fresh grapes, and then the first monkey like throws I don't know if it's a raisin or whatever, but he throws the thing back at him. He's slamming his head down. He's like, he wants two grapes also. Mm. So he was happy with the one. Yeah, it's the same thing here. Mm. I mean, we're basically monkeys. What's going on?
I'm not a monkey.
We're happy with the wage initially, but once we compare with someone else, like, well, they got two, then we throw the denarius back and we just demand. Joe.
It's called jealousy. And this parable is like every church. Because, you know, when you're a pastor and you've got a church board, and you got the old guard in the church that was there like back in the 70s when the green carpet was chosen and the red pews. And then you got these young whippersnappers that are coming into leadership, and they got every bright idea. Mm. And you're trying to blend all these people together, and there's conflict and there's jealousy. Like, this is a commentary of God's work in the church, because he wants to turn both hearts to each other so that we can all work together.
Oh, just a nuance. I think I totally agree. It is every church, but it's also every working institution, every circle. You have two generations, and the generation that's been there longer, and it's not even like generations, just whoever's been there has senior status. This is senior freshman. This is every high school, this is every college. It's just human nature. You compare yourself, but you would think in church it should be less. Mm-hmm. I think that's the commentary you're coming out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was interrupting you, but I don't want to kill your thought. I want to move to verse 12, because I do agree with you guys here, but I do want to nuance something. They are looking at each other. There is comparison going up for sure. All of that, right? Mm-hmm. But in verse 12, they said, "These last men have only worked 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day." Mm-hmm. So it's not that only, man, you made us equal, but we've gone through negative experiences. Like, we've suffered for you. and that hasn't been acknowledged. Like, is there, can we monetize that in any way? Like, it's the suffering part after going through noon to 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock. That seems to be a great question in this. How do we factor that into the larger lesson of the parable?
What's happening here is, and what happens a lot in our lives, is that we begin to think that we know what is best. You know, we feel that we get to the point where we're trying to tell God how to do his job. Mm. We're trying to, you know, the bottom line is that these people understanding their labor, and this is why it's critical for us to realize and to note that their labors, they're not novices. It's not like they've never worked before. They know what it's like to work a full day. They know what it's like to work in the heat of the day. Mm. They understand what laboring entails. Mm. So it's not like God, or it's not like this person has treated them unfairly, tricking them to say, you know, I'm going to give you a denarii, and then a denarius, and then I'm going to give you a job that you did not know you were going to get. Mm-hmm. This is not that kind of a situation. It's like they have agreed. They understand what is going on in what they've, you know, what they've agreed to. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, this is what, from the very, very beginning, when they established their wages, this is something they felt was reasonable then. Mm. And so what happens is, I think, number one, we tell God how to do his job. And number two, when we look back in retrospect at what's going on, it goes to show that given enough time, given enough circumstances, the agreements that we make with God, we will ultimately change. Mm. And this is, by the way, contrasted with the fact that the owner of this field is consistent all the way through. He comes, you know, his actions are consistent. The actions of these workers are erratic. You know, they all of a sudden, what they agreed, what was an awesome deal in the beginning of the day, is now a horrible deal once they realize that he's been good to other people. Mm. And so it just reminds me of the fact that we have the tendency to think that we can do a better job at being God than God can do, right? And we start telling God, you know, maybe you should do this way. You know, maybe you should pay them less, or maybe you should pay me more, or because they're not looking at, they're not, and in their mind, they're rationalizing. They're not desiring that these 11th hour workers get paid less. They're just hoping they get paid more, you know? So, you know, I think so many times we can think the same way and mask our own jealousy, as Joe was saying, right? It's like, I don't want someone else to get paid less. I'm not upset that they're getting paid less. I'm not jealous. I just think I should get paid more. But it's actually still a sign of jealousy or anger or distrust, or we go back to distrust in the character of God.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Verse 15 calls it the evil eye.
And on that, verse 15, the distrust, he asks two questions. And the first one, is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Right, you can do what
kind
you want.
Kind of alluding to what Israel was saying, like, I'm God.
Like, can I? And so the answer is yes.
I've been fair. I've been loving. Like, right. This isn't a violation of anything.
And then he says, in the second question, or he's saying, where's the problem here? Is the problem here with me, with how I am distributing my funds or allocating my resources? Clearly, that's not the problem, because they're mine and I can do whatever I want with them, right? Or is your eye evil because I am good? Do you have a problem with me? With my character, with who I am.
Exactly.
And if the answer to the first one is
powerful.
No, that's not the problem,
then
obviously you've got a problem with me.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And so just to buttress the distrust, like, you've got questions about my character and the way that I'm doing my things, not from the legal, you know, not from a legal standpoint or from what's right and wrong, you know, pure or whatever, but just with... you've got issues with me and my character.
You know what I really like is that we often identify as the first worker, right? Yeah. But in reality, we are all of us are really the last worker, right? Whenever we're the first worker, there is injustice going on. But if we're the last worker, man, this is grace, right? Mm-hmm. Grace is the great equalizer. It gives equal to everyone. God, and so whenever we're in a position of jealousy or injustice or whatever, we got to realize, hey man, we're at 5 o'clock, not 5 o'clock, we're at 5:59 sometimes, and the Lord has been good and good to all of us. The other thing that I see is that injustice is the it reveals really who you are, your priorities, your values. You know, if Israel attacks me and I'm not really like, well, whatever. Like it's not a right priority for me, but if there's something that attacks my core values, then I just like, then they call foul and then just, you know, get into a that's a great emotional reaction. And this is what they're seeing. This is what's happening in this last group here, that it reveals their priorities. They're in it for the money to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I love about this parable too is that it also it distills at the end of the day our relationship to God. In the sense that every time we have a problem with God, and I've said this before, but I think it shines beautifully in this passage, is every time we have a problem with God, it always has to do with our misunderstanding of his character, which boils down into, you know, his wisdom, power, or love. You know, here, the first hour workers at the end, as Siku already mentioned, you know, they're either upset at the fact that the way he uses his power or his means, his money, whatever belongs to him, or they have an issue with his wisdom, you know, power, wisdom, or they have an issue with his character. And I think every time we get into trouble, it is because of these things. And it's important for us, when we get into these issues, it's important for us to go back and to reflect on all the evidence that is given in the story that indicates over and over and over, I am God, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have been loving throughout eternity in the past. I'm loving now. I will be loving forever. I have all power. I've had all power in the past at creation. You would not exist. I've given you the talents to even know that I have talents, right? Mm-hmm. And so everything, like, in other words, you cannot even think the thoughts that you're thinking without my wisdom, power, and love, you know? And so let that be a reminder to you that your existence itself proves that I am a superior being than you are, and that I am trustworthy, that you do not have what it takes in yourself to address these complex issues in life. And this story is a reminder of that for me.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Maybe there's someone out there who is really dealing with jealousy. Yeah. What do we say to that person who is has been in the church, faithful person? Maybe they've considered religion, they've been faithful, dutiful, and then they can't attain that that joy of service. Yeah, to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus, and to have that. What can we say that as we close out in less than a minute, really quick? What can we say to that?
Siku? Stop looking at others.
Yeah,
focus on the one who's called you.
Yeah, pull out your eyes, turn the evil eye out. Yeah,
really embrace the grace of God. If I realize how much God has given me that I don't deserve,
yeah,
I can unhinge from this transactional view of salvation,
yeah,
and give other people a lot more grace because God has given me so much.
We're 559 people, yeah.
Understand that God has forgiven you, and because he has forgiven you, this is the reason why you would not be jealous with towards another person.
Amen. I don't know how else to say it better, but that's my prayer, and hopefully that's yours. May the understanding, the clarified understanding of God, change all of us. God bless you guys here in Inverse. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Kelly Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.